the media states the Bush administration was selectively choosing evidence to support its case for war with Iraq as early as 2002 and was ignoring anything to the contrary. The Downing Street memo has sparked an international controversy. Tune in Thursday at 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. for special live coverage of John Conyers' hearing on the Downing Street memo. Conyers was prevented from holding the hearing on Capitol Hill by Republicans, but will hold hearings at the Democratic National Committee building in Washington. We will join the hearing in progress between 1 and 2. Then stay tuned for a national post-hearing special featuring guests, analysts, and your calls between 2 and 3 p.m. That's John Conyers' hearing on the Downing Street memo tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. right here on your community station, KPFT Houston.
I am the voice of Pacifica Radio.
Ana sot Radio Pacifica al KPFT 90.1 FM fi Houston.
Unasikiza 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Yawaz hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Oh hai Pacifica Toy kissing
se. Chaliye, aaj hum sab mil karke is dharti pe shanti ke liye prarthna kare.
Chúng tôi muốn nói lên sự thật cho giới lãnh đạo được biết. Chúng tôi là Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
一同向和平進發, 我們是侯司長的 Pacifica KPFT 90.1 FM 90.1.
Mimi ni Pacifica, uhuru wa mazungumzo kwa watu walio huru.
Hum taqat ke samne bhi sachai se bolte hain. Hum hain Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Let's all get together and pray for the peace on earth.
غير العدالة مش ممكن يواجه السلام.
Yeah. Good evening. Ahlan wa sahlan and welcome to the Arab Voices on Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored commercial-free KPFT, 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 FM in Galveston, and live broadcast on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices, along with my co-host, Mark. Our guest tonight will be Alamdar Hamdani, attorney, board member with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, the ACLU, and secretary of the National South Asian American Bar Association. We will talk with Mr. Hamdani about the USA Patriot Act, civil liberties, abuses and violations of the rights of immigrants, including Arabs and Muslims in the U.S., as well as hate crimes. We will also take your calls live, so please make a note of the phone number. It is 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. But first, let's start with Arab Voices Community Calendar.
A film documentary about the cost of war, where Veterans for Peace will be speaking out against the war in Iraq, which also includes several interviews with soldiers and their loved ones, will be airing on the Houston Media Source Channel 17 on Time Warner Cable. That's June 20th at 8:30 p.m.
Professor Robert Jensen, associate professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin, author of Citizens of the Empire, The Struggle to Claim Our Humanity, will be in Houston tomorrow evening talking about Beyond Bush, Beyond Iraq, Understanding U.S. Foreign Policy. Oil Patch Democrats are sponsoring this event, which will be held again tomorrow, Thursday, at 6:30 p.m. at the Pavani Indian Cuisine, located at 10554 Southwest Freeway between Bissonnette and Beltway 8. For more information, please email Jubith Hines at jhines@cogc.com.
This coming Saturday, June 18th, is World Refugee Day, and it will be celebrated under the auspices of the Mayor's Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs, sponsorship by many other agencies, including Catholic charities. Guest speakers will inform attendees about refugee issues. There will be traditional ethnic music, singing, dancing, and food from around the world. World Refugee Day will be held Saturday, June 18th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Marion Park Community Center, that's at 11101 South Gessner near West Belford. For more information, contact Benito Juarez at 713-437-6968.
The Galveston Peace Action Network is organizing a demonstration to save U.S. soldiers and is calling for the U.S. to get out of Iraq. This demonstration is planned for Saturday, June 18th, at 12 noon at Seawall and 41st Street in Galveston. For all our listeners in Galveston, we're sure you're tuning in to 89.5 FM. Please call Mark Mohich for more information at 409-763-0482.
A conference and town hall meeting titled Immigrants and Refugees, Seeking Rights, Seeking Services, Seeking a Future is scheduled to take place on June 25th in Houston. This special event is sponsored by the Mayor's Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs and aims to supply service providers, government agencies, and community organizations with the information they need to serve Houston's diverse immigrant and refugee population. The town hall meeting will have a panel with the participation of city elected officials, the director of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, and the directors from the police, health and human services, and housing departments. The conference will take place on Saturday, June 25th. That's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The town hall meeting will be held from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the same day. Both events will be held at the Centro Familia Cristiano, located at 1100 Derry, Ashford. For more information, you can contact Benito Juarez at 713-437-6968.
To mark the United Nations International Day in support of victims of torture, Amnesty International Group 23 Houston is organizing Denounce Torture, Stop It Now demonstration against the torture and ill treatment of those detained by the U.S. and a witness of concern for torture victims everywhere. The demonstration will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. in front of the main Houston Public Library, located at 500 McKinney Street in downtown Houston.
And I think Cynthia McKinney is supposed to be at that event. She's supposed to attend, and I'll probably be there as well. So hopefully we'll see a lot of people. Coming up, we've got one more announcement, the free housing law. Said, do you have any more before that?
Still letting you know, if you missed any of the numbers or emails we just announced for the events, make sure to visit our website at www.arabvoices.net, and you will see a detailed list of all upcoming activities and events in Houston.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Khalid Bin Ali, and I am calling about the apartment you are renting on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Coming up next, Arab Voices News Summary. The Israeli occupation forces invaded today the city of Yatta, south of Hebron City in the West Bank, planted explosives inside a number of caves and completely destroyed them. Israeli troops also threw stun grenade, tear gas canisters and flare grenades on the areas to keep the residents away. Meanwhile, a group of Israeli colonizers attacked the residents' homes and properties in Hebron City. They also installed several illegal outposts in the city. Several residents suffocated after inhaling gas fired by the Israeli occupation soldiers. Yesterday evening, Israeli occupation troops invaded the village of Dora in the West Bank and shot and wounded Thaer Muhammad Nassar, a 17-year-old Palestinian. Thaer was shot several times in different parts of his body. Another civilian was beaten by the Israeli occupation troops in the town of Hawara, while Israeli colonizers attacked two Palestinian youths in the city of Afula.
The Electronic Intifada revealed today that a document recently published by the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs entitled Israeli Assistance Steps and Humanitarian Measures Towards the Palestinians, that the $50 million their congressional agents in Washington scrounged from the $200 million Palestinian aid package will go for the construction of high-tech processing terminals that will be located on the separation lines between Israel and Palestine. The money will basically be spent along the path of the apartheid wall that the Israelis have unilaterally constructed in the last 2 years and that lies within Palestinian territories. This improvised border between Israel and Palestine is not recognized by any legal authority. Electronic Intifada said, quote, it is especially ironic that the aid designated for Palestinians is being applied to modernizing terminals that have painfully and in some cases tragically disrupted their lives since the beginning of the Second Intifada in 2000. The fact that the U.S. aid given to Israel is not allowed to be spent outside Israel, meaning none of the West Bank or Gaza, is probably the motivation for the $50 million being spent for the terminal being carved out of Palestinian aid allotments. You can get more information on this on the Electronic Intifada website. That's electronicintifada.net.
And speaking of funds, it was revealed a few days ago in Israel that the Foreign Committee at the United States Congress voted last Thursday in favor of a series of reforms the American administration demands the UN with and threatens to cut its funding of UN agencies if it didn't stop issuing unilateral resolutions against Israel. The Congress also demanded the U.S. Secretary of State to report every 6 months on the steps taken to include Israel as a permanent member in the European Union. The bill also says, quote, the United States shall refrain from directing funds to the United Nations normal budget until the recommendation in the bill are implemented, unquote. The United States, a long, strong ally of Israel, has vetoed 39 UN Security Council resolutions since 1970, condemning the racist and arbitrary Israeli measures against the Palestinian people, as well as directing billions of dollars each year to the Israeli government, which are mostly used to bolster the Israeli war machine, establish illegal colonies over occupied Palestinian territories, and construct the Israeli apartheid wall.
The violence in Iraq continues to worsen by the day. It seems today at least 55 Iraqis were killed and more than 60 wounded in various attacks throughout the country. 26 were killed and 29 wounded when a suicide bomber blew himself up around the soldiers northwest of Bakuba City. In eastern Baghdad, a suicide car bomb has slammed into two police cars, killing 10 people, including 8 police officers, and injured 20 others. 5 Iraqis were also killed and another 8 wounded when 3 mortar shells hit a famous Baghdad restaurant. In Kirkuk City, 2 senior Iraq officers were abducted and then later killed. Elsewhere, 7 people, including 2 police officers, died in the northern town of Tal Afar. Meanwhile, Iraqi troops released Douglas Wood, a 64-year-old Australian hostage, who had been held for over a month.
Casualties on the occupation side also continues to rise. Earlier today, 1 U.S. Marine died in a roadside bomb explosion in Fallujah, west of Baghdad. Yesterday, 3 more U.S. soldiers were killed and 2 others were wounded in separate attacks in Iraq. 2 Bulgarian soldiers were also killed in Diwaniya city in southern central Iraq. Bulgaria decided on May 5th to pull out its 380-troop contingent from Iraq by the end of the year. On Monday, 2 U.S. soldiers were killed in a roadside bomb attack near the city of Ramadi, west of Baghdad. The latest deaths bring to 17 the number of U.S. military personnel killed in Iraq over the past week. Since the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq began, at least 1,699 U.S. soldiers and more than 100,000 Iraqis have been killed. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told the BBC television yesterday that Iraq was statistically no safer today than it was after Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein was overthrown. On Monday, the White House rejected calls for setting a precise timetable for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, even as a new poll showed almost 6 in 10 Americans want at least a partial pullout of U.S. forces. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said, quote, "We will leave when we complete the mission," unquote.
It's funny, I thought I read mission accomplished on an aircraft carrier some time back. The Washington Post reported today that Iraqi police and security units led by Kurdish political parties and backed by the U.S. military have abducted hundreds of Arabs and Turkmens in Kirkuk and put them in prisons in Kurdish-held northern Iraq. The men have been transferred secretly and in violation of Iraqi law to prisons in the Kurdish cities of Erbil and Sulaymaniyah with the knowledge of U.S. forces. The detainees, including merchants, members of tribal families and soldiers, have often remained missing for months. Some have been tortured, according to released prisoners and the Kirkuk police chief.
Michel Aoun, a retired Lebanese general who emerged as a surprise winner of Lebanon's third round of parliamentary polls, said today he would take the job of president if there was consensus on his aims and on pro-Syrian President Emil Lahoud stepping down. Aoun told reporters, quote, "If the parliamentary majority agrees on my political program, if there is a consensus on Lahoud's departure, I am ready to become president on the condition that those leaving be given an honorable discharge," unquote. Michel Aoun spent the past 15 years in exile, but gained considerable clout when he took 23 seats in the third round of the 4-stage polls against an anti-Syrian coalition grouping Druze leader Walid Jumblatt and Saad Hariri, the son of the late Rafiq Hariri. The election is the first in Lebanon since Syria, after a 29-year presence, withdrew its troops and security agents in April in the face of local and international pressure following Hariri's assassination in February.
And finally, for the news tonight, another election story. The Egyptian parliament approved today 3 amendments to an electoral bill amid opposition protests that the ruling party was seeking to bar credible rivals for long-standing President Hosni Mubarak. The Minister of State for Parliamentary Affairs told the House the new conditions for presidential candidates were demanded by Mubarak, who is widely expected to seek a 5th term in September's polls. The amendments were brought in at Mubarak's request, requiring any candidate must prove that he has a clean financial record, a certificate showing he performed his military duties, and a signed declaration certifying he does not hold a second nationality. The final electoral law is due to be voted on tomorrow, after which it will be submitted to the Constitutional Committee. The opposition in Egypt, which has supported a string of anti-Mubarak protests, charges that the conditions set by Mubarak effectively rule out competition. It is reported that Gamal Mubarak, the son of the president who heads the political committee of his father's ruling National Democratic Party, may actually hold British nationality through his mother, Suzanne, who is half Welsh.
We will take a short break now, and when we come back, we will talk with Alamdar Hamdani, attorney, board member with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, and secretary of the National South Asian American Bar Association. We will discuss with Mr. Hamdani the USA Patriot Act, civil liberties, abuses and violations of the rights of immigrants, and hate crimes. We will also take your calls live, so please make a note of the phone number. It is 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. Voices on Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT, 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 FM in Galveston, and live broadcast on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices, along with my co-host Mark. First, I would like to say welcome to a new volunteer to Arab Voices, and that's Rania Al-Hilo, who's going to be assisting us over the next 2 months. She's actually coming to us from Colorado. She's doing her master's in journalism, and she decided to come to Houston as an internship to assist Arab Voices over the next two months. So, Rania, I just wanted to say welcome to Houston and welcome to Arab Voices.
Oh, thanks a lot, and I'm really happy and excited to be part of the team, and I hope I will learn a lot and bring this experience back to my school and back to my home.
Thank you very much. Today she's going to be a guest observing us, but you all get to hear her voice and her input beginning next week on Arab Voices, and we are pleased that she's with us. With us now, live in the studio, is Mr. Alamdar Hamdani, who is an attorney here in Houston. He's a board member with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, the ACLU, and secretary of the National South Asian American Bar Association. Mr. Hamdani, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Saeed. Thank you.
Thank you. We wanted to talk to you today about the Patriot Act, the USA Patriot Act, civil liberties, the abuses that we hear about out there, the homeland security, the treatment of immigrants, especially in the Arab community and the Muslim community in Houston and across the United States. We always hear comments, we always hear questions. People approach us and they asking, what should they do? What is going on? What's happening? Do they have to fear where they go? What they say on the phone? Give us information first about this Patriot Act. People hear about it, they may know some, but they may not necessarily know what it is all about exactly.
Sure. Before I tell you what's in the Patriot Act...
Well, and by the way, I'm sorry to cut you again. I wanted to say to Alamdar, congratulations. Oh. He's a new father. His new son, first son, was born yesterday.
Yes.
And he's here tonight on Arab Voices. So thank you, and thanks to your wife for allowing you to leave her at this time. And congratulations again.
Yeah, and thanks to my wife for many reasons, especially delivering a wonderful baby boy. You know, before I tell you what's in the Patriot Act, let me kind of give you a context of how the Patriot Act was enacted and the environment at the time. And what I'll do is I'll kind of backtrack to September of 2004, just last September. A Cornell University study came out, and in that study, it asked Americans what they believe about certain things. 44% of those Americans surveyed believe it is okay to infringe the civil liberties of Muslims. Now, what are civil liberties? And everybody knows I'm part of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, but what are civil liberties? The first 10 amendments of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, make up those civil liberties, and I'll give you a great example of civil liberties. What we're doing here today is guaranteed by the First Amendment, the right to free speech. When you go to a mosque, it's guaranteed by the First Amendment. When you speak out, when you give speeches, when you associate with other groups, guaranteed by the First Amendment. That's what I protect. And that's what 44% of Americans said should be taken away and can be taken away from Muslims. 27% of those surveyed said it is okay for the FBI to spy on Muslims. 29% said that Muslims must register in communities like some sort of common criminal. That's September 2004. Now, backtrack to right after September 11th and imagine what the environment was. For example, in New York City, 1,100 people were detained. Of those 1,100, not one in all the years has ever brought up on terrorism charges. And as a good example of what happened to these individuals, one of them was a man named Ansar Mahmood. Ansar Mahmood was a Pakistani immigrant. He had a green card. He was here legally. And he was working as a pizza delivery boy in Queens, New York, trying to make money and send it back to Pakistan. Now, right after September 11th, he took a picture of the Hudson River. He took a picture of what he thought was a beautiful sunrise. But unfortunately, in that picture was also a water treatment plant. And so somebody saw a Muslim-looking man, right after 9/11, taking a picture of what could be the sunrise, but also could be a power plant. So the FBI questioned Mr. Mahmood. And they realized within a few hours that Mr. Mahmood was no terrorist threat. But because Ansar had co-signed a lease for a friend's niece, and that friend's niece was out of status, i.e., here illegally, Mr. Mahmood spent 3 years in a detention facility before he was deported back to Pakistan. This man had a green card. Just imagine what it was like after September 11th. Now, imagine 45 days after September 11th. The world is still in panic. Congress is not in its normal building because of an anthrax scare. And 45 days after September 11th, on October 26, 2001, Congress passed what Senator Russ Feingold said was an act that was passed without the due process, without the due consideration of the American people. That act was the USA Patriot Act. Now, in the beginning of the act, it says We passed this act, but we want people to know that this act does not discriminate against Muslims, South Asians, or Arabs. Well, that section of the act, which is section 102, the very first section, is kind of like when my beautiful wife, who just had our baby, looks at me and she goes, Alamdar, I love you, but. What follows that conjunction is the USA Patriot Act. Now, what I can do, what I want to explain to everybody here, is that 2005, this year, is a very important year. Because on December 31st, 2005, portions of the USA Patriot Act will expire. Some of those portions, which I'll explain to you, are some of the most troubling portions there are. And they will just go away. Right now, in Congress, in the House of Representatives, in the Judiciary Committee, the Republican House is pushing to give law enforcement those powers which are troubling in the USA Patriot Act, and those powers which will expire. 2005 is a very important year. We've got to talk to our congressmen. So, what's in the USA Patriot Act? What's it all about? You know, people talk about it, but not many people know about it. And it is literally about 240 pages of amendments, changes to other acts. To read the USA Patriot Act is a very laborious process. I've read it. I've read many law review articles on it. And basically what it is, it changes up a law that came from 1979 called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This law was passed, surprisingly, because of civil liberties abuses by the U.S. government. See, back in 1979, they had just finished with Nixon. And they had just finished with CIA spying on American citizens, on protesters in Operation Chaos, with the Nixon scandals. And so, they realized, and the Carter administration realized, that they needed to put a check on the United States government. And so they passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which put checks on CIA. And they said, CIA, you can't spy on American citizens. Well, on October 26, 2001, FISA, as it's called, was drastically changed. And the way FISA works is there is a court, a special secret court called the FISA court. 11 federal judges are on this FISA court. Now you or anybody who's listening to this, unless you are a United States attorney or an FBI agent, has no access to those courts. Only the federal government does. And in those courts, many things happen where there is no discretion by the judge because of what happened by the USA Patriot Act. And I'll give you a perfect example. Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act amended FISA to allow something that is clearly, in my opinion, in violation of civil liberties. What it does, it allows the federal government, on a simple statement to a judge, that what they're looking for is involved with clandestine activities. And if they use these special words, the judge shall grant what the U.S. attorney wants. And what can the U.S. attorney seek with those special words in a court where none of us can be in there and the judge has no discretion but to grant the order? This order under Section 215 allows the federal government to get any tangible thing. Now, you are the University of Colorado, Boulder, and what the federal government can do with a Section 215 order, okay, and all they need to do is put this one, those few special words, they can go and get your, academic records, they can get your book reading lists, they can go to the bookstore and find out what you bought. And guess what? When they go to the bookstore and they say, we've got this FISA order, and we want to find out what she read and what you read, and the bookstore says, wait a second, I know that's in violation of some amendment, some civil liberty, probably the First Amendment. I'm going to go tell somebody. Well, in the USA Patriot Act, there's also a provision that says, if you are asked by the federal government to turn over any tangible thing, you can't talk about it. the bookstore can't go to the press and say, wait a second, the FBI came to me. So right now, Saeed, they could have read all the books you've read, all the library books you've checked out. They could have seen those lists. They can go to your ISP provider and find out what websites you've gone to, all with a simple order. Now, I'm not saying I don't trust the federal government in all aspects, but the United States Constitution was created to put a check on our federal government. As Louis Freeh once said in 1997, the FBI is the most dangerous organization there is. Or as Benjamin Franklin once said, those that sacrifice essential liberties for temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So,
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. You mentioned Louis Freeh, and it's worth pointing out, for those who don't know, that is a former director of the FBI.
Right.
Just if people are not familiar with that name.
Hmm. Yes, thank you. Sometimes I know all this stuff, and I forget sometimes people don't know it. Yeah, the FBI director said his own agency was the most dangerous organization there was in 1997 in front of Congress. So, that's just one snippet of the USA Patriot Act. Another snippet allows the federal government not only to read your library books and your magazine lists and your ISP providers and see where you've gone, but as we're sitting here today, the federal government could be in my house because my wife's not there and she's in the hospital with our new baby and I'm here doing this radio show. The FBI could be in my house right now looking around my home because of what you call a sneak and peek search warrant. I.e., they can get a search warrant from a judge and look around my home and not tell me about it until after a reasonable amount of time. And, of course, nobody has defined what reasonable amount of time is. So, the federal government not only has the ability to look at my books, look at my magazines, but also they can be around my house looking around right now. And those, my friends, are just two sections of the USA Patriot Act.
Alamdar, you mentioned the sneak and peek. Is it right that that's one of the provisions that's not going to expire?
That's absolutely right. Section 213 of the Act will not expire. And there's a solution to some of these things. If you notice, for example, when I talked about Section 215 of the Act, and I said the judge shall grant the order if these special words are in the request.
Right.
Under the United States Constitution, there are three articles. Okay? And Article 3 of the United States Constitution allows for what you call an independent judiciary, one of the key checks on our republic. One of the things that makes our republic the greatest republic, in my opinion, of all time. It has its faults, which is why I stay busy. But the reason why this is, in my opinion, the greatest republic is because of what you call an independent judiciary. The right for a judge to say, you know what, I don't think you've got enough evidence for me to grant this order. So, the USA Patriot Act takes away that judicial discretion, Article 3 of the United States Constitution. Now, there is currently an act in Congress called the SAFE Act, S-A-F-E, a bipartisan act introduced by both Republicans and Democrats, and the SAFE Act does and gives back what has been taken away. What it says is, look, okay, we understand that's 9/11. We need additional investigative powers. For example, I think it's okay for the CIA and the FBI to talk to each other. As we all know, one of the reasons why 9/11 happened, besides, of course, 19 crazy men who crashed planes into buildings, was because of an intelligence breakdown prior to 9/11. And if there had not been a breakdown, there's a good chance, or there was a decent chance, that we could have caught those bombers. I'm all for sharing of intelligence between CIA and FBI. And the SAFE Act says, look, there's portions of the USA Patriot Act that are fine, but there's portions that aren't. And the easy and simple fix to it is let our federal judges do their job. Let them have discretionary power. So, to everybody out there who's listening, first of all, I'd suggest that you go to www.aclu.org. Go to the Safe and Free section and spend about half an hour, 45 minutes just surfing around, and you'll learn a lot about the USA Patriot Act. But secondly, right now, talk to your congressman. Look at what's going on in the House Judiciary Committee right now. Because right now, what they want to do is not only prevent the sunset, i.e., the expiration of those portions of the act, but they also want to strengthen federal law enforcement's powers. And understand that Congress must be a check on the executive. And the executive right now has a lot of power. George Bush and his administration has a lot of power through the Department of Justice.
Let me mention something, Alamdar. The House Judiciary Committee, actually there was a hearing this past Friday, and there were two sides accusing each other, you get Republicans, you get Democrats and so on, of being irresponsible and undemocratic about the Patriot Act and so on. And something interesting happened at that judiciary hearing, and the Republican James Sensenbrenner, the chairman of the panel, abruptly graveled the meeting to an end and walked out. While it's still in session, people didn't finish to say their concerns about the Patriot Act. Abruptly ended the meeting, and he walked out, followed by other Republicans. What was interesting is Republican Gerald Nadler, he's Democrat from New York, he protested this, and he raised his voice at the microphone, continued to talk about Patriot and so on. They discontinued his mic. They cut it off. Came back again, we gave him another mic, and they cut him off again. People were outraged at even this behavior. The president of the Arab American Institute was present. He was testifying, Dr. James Zobi. He even made a comment at the end. He said, quote, "I'm troubled about what kind of lessons this gives to the rest of the world," basically saying, you know, where is the democracy in the White, in the House Judiciary Committee here, where you don't allow others to speak. So it's interesting that even as this is being discussed, this serious matter being discussed, people in authority there who have a say in what will happen next year, they're not even allowing their counterparts to speak about this act. But let me ask you this. Does this apply to anybody, even if you're a citizen of the United States?
Yes.
So what does a man or a woman do when he or she is working hard, whether a pizza delivery driver or in a store or at a university or at a company or at whatever it is, just because they are of Arab descent or South Asian descent, or they are Muslims from Pakistan or any country, what can they do to protect themselves if the FBI or the Homeland Security can pretty much do any of what you described? What can they do? Obviously, people can hire lawyers, but unless they are rich to do so, and most of these people are hardworking and they may not afford it, this could completely destroy their life.
You're absolutely right. It does have the potential to destroy lives. And first of all, when it comes to the USA Patriot Act and what's going on and what law and the powers that law enforcement has, the first thing I can tell every listener out there, educate yourself. Number one, educate yourself. Understand what's going on. Understand the issues. The beautiful thing with the World Wide Web, I can't believe I call it the World Wide Web. I don't think anybody's called it that in years, but the Internet. The beautiful thing with the Internet is that you can learn so much, and I gave you the ACLU.org address in the Safe and Free section. We'll give you some information and lots of information about the USA Patriot Act. Secondly, is I encourage everybody to keep doing what you're doing. As long as what you're doing is not illegal. And I don't encourage anybody to do anything illegal. But, you know, we're all good law-abiding people, whether we're citizens, whether we're immigrants, whether we're H-1Bs, whether we're here on a visa. And keep doing what you're doing. Don't let the federal government change who you are or what you think or which mosque you go to. It is so important that you stay vigilant. Now, third, as a practical matter, let me give you a phone number. It's 713-850-1579. 713-850-1579. That is my direct line at work. And the reason I give that number is if the FBI approaches you for what they call a voluntary interview, and this is what normally happens, the FBI will come to your home, or they will come to your place of work, or they'll give you a phone call, and they'll say, we'd like to talk to you. Okay? And number one, unless they've got a warrant or a judge's order, remember, the only person who can ever make you talk is a judge. Unless they've got that, first of all, you can say, I don't want to talk to you. You have that right. Secondly, though, and here's what happens. If you say you don't want to talk to them, you have that right. But as a practical matter, I once asked an FBI agent after an interview. I said, let me ask you a question. You know me, Alamdar Hamdani. What if I'm walking down the street and I take a picture of buildings and I'm in downtown Houston, and I guarantee you somebody will see a man who looks like he's Muslim or Arab taking pictures of downtown Houston, and he'll probably call the FBI. It is the culture we live in, the life we live. And I said, what if you guys came to me and you asked for the videotape? And I said, it's none of your business. What would you do? They said, well, we'd talk to your boss, we'd talk to your neighbors, we'd talk to anybody who knew who you were to find out what you did that day. So as a practical matter, you can say no, but as a practical matter, many times the FBI may disrupt your life. So what do you do then? Well, if you're going to talk to the FBI or anybody from the federal government and they're asking you for an interview and they want to question you, remember this. Do not talk to anybody unless you have counsel. Let me repeat that again. Do not talk to anybody unless you have counsel. And if the FBI comes to you for a voluntary interview, call that number, 713-850-1579, and I will do what I've been doing now for 3 years. I'll represent you in the interview for free. So, now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, Mr. Hamdani, I've got nothing to hide. I'm a good man. And I understand that. And I can tell you, all the people I have represented in interviews, good, law-abiding people.
And some people, Alamdar, they say, some people may think, and I've heard this from many people myself, say, well, if I'm ever approached and I tell them, well, I'm going to hire a lawyer first, I'm going to get counsel,
yeah,
wouldn't that leave the impression with the FBI or the Homeland Security or whatever agency that I must be hiding something, or I'm afraid, and that's why I need a lawyer? Should they fear that? Should they think that way?
Do not fear that. Do not think that way. If the FBI, and many times the FBI said this, somebody will say, well, I'm going to talk to you with counsel. And the FBI will say, why? Why? You got something to hide? Are you a criminal of some sort? Don't let that scare you. And frankly, if that happens and you call me, I will have many choice words with the FBI. The FBI and I and the ACLU and other organizations like the Council for American Islamic Relations have been working hard together to make sure that agents don't intimidate like that. But, you know, and I'll tell you this. I've met many FBI agents. Many of them are good people. Most of them are good people. They're just trying to do their job. They're trying to protect this country. However, it just takes one agent who doesn't understand or doesn't appreciate civil liberties or civil rights to destroy a life. And I'll give you a perfect example of why it's important to have a lawyer there, and why it's important for you to stay vigilant even when they say, have you got something to hide? Now, an FBI agent has what you call 1001 authority, the ability to detain. And when the FBI interviews you, here's what happens. There's two FBI agents and there's yourself. And they have files. And in those files, they have information about you that dates back decades. Okay? And what they do, and imagine, it's an intimidating environment. You're sitting there in front of two FBI agents. Many times you may not speak the language very well. And you're nervous. And they will do background checks and they'll see, you know, where you traveled, how many times you traveled somewhere. And you know what? My memory is not so good. And so sometimes you'll hear a question and you'll think you know what the question is and you'll give an answer. But the question may have been so vague that the answer could have been to a totally different question. And I'll give you an example. One time at the FBI, I was interviewing a client of mine. And before the interview, what I do is I sit down for about an hour, and I learn everything I can about you. And I learned that this man was not a citizen. He was a green card holder. And so in the interview, there's two FBI agents. And this FBI agent said, are you naturalized? And this man, who doesn't speak very good English, said, yes, I'm naturalized. And it was obvious he didn't know what the word naturalized meant. But here's the interesting part. For 10 full seconds, the FBI agent didn't say a word. Didn't try to correct him. Didn't say anything. And then I said, I looked to my client and I said, are you a citizen? He goes, no, I have green card. And I looked to the agent, I go, that's your answer. But if I wasn't there, that small misunderstanding could have been used by the FBI to detain this man at that point or another point down the road. That's why it's important to have a lawyer there. My job is to protect your civil liberties, to keep you calm, and to interpret these questions.
And if money is the question on many people out there's mind, that they can't afford a lawyer, Mr. Hamdani now is offering his service free to be with you if you're interviewed with the FBI, correct?
Yep, for voluntary interviews.
For the voluntary interviews with any of the authorities, you can give his office a call at 713-850-1571 and he will be with you free of charge.
I think it's 1579 actually.
1579, I'm sorry. I want to give you another phone number, and that's for you to call now if you have a question for Alamdar. We'll take it live. That number is 713-526-5738. It's 713-526-KPFT. Let me ask you another question about hate crimes. There have been reports, especially after September the 11th, throughout the United States and here in Houston. Are these reports decreasing or are they increasing? What do you know about it?
From what I understand, the Council for American Islamic Relations came out with a study that says hate crimes and civil rights violations have increased over the past few years. And this report came out in the New York Times as well. The Department of Justice has a specific portion called the Civil Rights Division, and they have a specific lawyer, a guy from Houston. His name is Shadik Zafar, a good man. And he's in charge of post-9/11 backlash crimes. And what's interesting is the federal government at this point in time, I don't think, has a grasp on what the numbers are, but other groups like Council for American Islamic Relations do. And from what I understand, hate crimes have gone up. Now, I don't know in Houston whether hate crimes have gone up. But you know what's interesting is, and one of my big concerns is, it's one thing when my neighbor calls me a terrorist. It's one thing when my private citizen calls me names or when somebody looks at me differently at the airport. It's another thing, though, when my federal government and FBI agents or CIA agents or Department of Homeland Security or laws being passed by my Congress discriminate against me. It's another thing when the public actor is the one that's discriminating. So for me, one of the biggest focuses is more than just hate crimes. It's changing the way our federal government views people who look like us, who share our religion, or share our culture.
All right, let's give our listeners the opportunity to ask questions. We're going to ask the callers to please make the questions very short, and we're going to hang up the phone once you ask the question so we can give the opportunity to others to ask. Let's go to line one next. KPFT, you're on the air.
Hello, line one.
Can you hear us?
He should be able to. I took callers and I just...
You're on the air. All right, we'll try. Please call again. If we're unable to connect, we'll move next to line two. KPFT, you're on the air.
Mr. Hamdani,
yes.
I've attended your lecture at the Arab Community Center a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciate all what you do. It's a tremendous job you do, trying to protect the, I would call mostly the innocent, against... the most fearful part in here is, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, just, you know, some people say, hey, I have nothing to hide, and I'm not afraid of anything. I mean, why not? It's okay, you know, I'll meet with the FBI people if they have any questions. But it's just what I've seen in the community and the horror stories that I've heard. There is this element is, you know, if someone in there, just due to ignorance or hate or whatever, whatever background of that particular agent, like you said, they have the potential to just destroy your life. And I've heard some horror stories around in the community.
Muhammad, do you have a direct question? We have only 4 minutes left.
What are we doing to educate the agents, anything, the intelligence agencies, you know, about just, you know, understand the culture and the language difference, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, regarding the citizenship or naturalization.
Very good question.
Let's
give him the opportunity to answer it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you for the kind comments. I understand that groups like the Council for American Islamic Relations are working with the FBI to make them understand about the culture of Muslim South Asians and Arabs. What I do is after every interview, and it's just me, after every interview I have, I sit down with the agents, I kick the client out of the room, and I sit down with the agents and I talk about each question they asked and why I thought maybe some questions were in violation of civil liberties, and we have an intellectual discussion. Beyond that, there's not much going on. And I think it's a good suggestion, and I'm going to encourage my good friends at the Council for American Islamic Relations to work with the ACLU to sit down with the FBI, and I encourage the FBI to not be afraid to sit down with me so I can explain to them the civil liberties concerns that are being voiced.
Very well. Let's take another caller. And next, KPFT, you're on the air. We're going to line 3 now.
Yes, I have a question. So, does the FBI have to have just cause to be able to harass you? I mean, for example, I'm married to an Arab, so that means they can harass me because I have an Arabic last name?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of some of the justifications they used. A young man was driving down I-45 to Galveston. It was 7 o'clock in the morning.
And before you get into the question too deeply, we've got about 1 minute or so left.
Got it. And he took a picture of a sunrise. And the man saw him taking a picture of a sunrise. He was a Muslim man with his wife who was in hijab. That was enough for the FBI to question him, just because a Muslim man took a picture of a sunrise. So, can they have just cause? I claim that sometimes their causes are not just. And just because a man is either Muslim or a woman is Muslim, South Asian, or Arab, they will question him sometimes.
Okay, we're nearing the top of the hour, so that pretty much wraps it up for the show. But we want to give some phone numbers and website addresses again that I believe are very important for everybody to have out there.
Saeed, just first, before you do that, I just want to make one quick comment, mm-hmm. and I wonder if I can get a reaction to it. The Patriot Act was passed, and the majority of members of Congress who voted for it admitted that they didn't read it.
Right.
And there were no complaints, as far as I know, before or after September 11th from intelligence or law enforcement agencies complaining that they didn't have powers to do their jobs. I just think that that's worth stressing, because a lot of people think that the Patriot Act is somehow going to protect us, but I don't think that's actually the case.
That's true, and in fact, since October 26, 2001, not one person has been brought up on terrorism charges. Simple as that.
I just wanted to say that so people don't get the wrong impression of how things stood beforehand.
And as Mr. Alamdar Hamdani said, you have to really educate yourself. Get on the web, visit aclu.org. And also, I want to mention our website, arabvoices.net. Click on a button called Resources, and you will see links to selective documents about the Arab American and Muslim community and about know your rights and your civil liberties and so on in the United States, and what to do if approached by the FBI and how to report hate crimes and so on. We have this already available on the website. Mr. Alamdar also offered his service free of a charge for a voluntary interview with any of the FBI or Homeland Security or whatever agency. Call him at his line, which is
713-850-1579.
That's pretty much the time we have for the evening. We want to thank you so much, Mr. Alamdar Hamdani, an attorney here in Houston, board member with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, and secretary of the National South Asian American Bar Association. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Saeed.
We appreciate it. Many thanks to my co-host, Mark, and welcome again to Rania. And until we meet next Wednesday, this is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices, wishing you peace on earth.